Turning to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. I'd like to read the first three verses, very familiar verses, verses we've preached from many, many times, and certainly a series of messages could easily be preached upon these verses, verses that most of us are very familiar with. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, that is, as we run this race, he's the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. The book of Hebrews, from start to finish, is an inspired admonition for God's people to persevere. It is an inspired motivation to a life of faith. It is the writer persuading us. The book is meant to persuade us. The book is meant to stimulate and embolden the child of God. 13 times the writer of Hebrews uses the phrase, let us. And then following those two words is a particular duty in the Christian life. Throughout Hebrews, we read, let us fear, let us labor, let us hold fast our profession, let us come boldly before the throne of grace. Let us go on. Let us draw near. Let us hold fast. Let us consider one another. Here we see in our text, let us lay aside every weight and let us run. Goes on to say later in the book, let us have grace. Let us go forth. Let us offer sacrifices of praise. So throughout the book, we are admonished to particular duties. And that phrase, let us, is in the present tense, which of course conveys the idea of continuance. These are things that we are to continually be doing. So the arrangement of Hebrews is to admonish us, to motivate us, to stimulate us, to embolden us in these things. And that being said, Jesus Christ is the main feature, because that's what emboldens us, that's what encourages us. Jesus Christ is the focal point of the book. And we see this arrangement throughout the book, and we certainly see this arrangement in our text. Again, we're admonished to do something, and then Jesus is the main thing. Jesus is the focal point. So again, the book is an admonition, a motivation for the child of God to continue, for the child of God to advance spiritually. Now, our text opens with the word wherefore, which of course takes us back to something previous that has been said, and I believe that goes back to Hebrews 10, verse 38, through chapter 11, verse 40. And in those verses, we see we have the inspired record of men and women of God who attained spiritually, who did extraordinary things spiritually, and who endured in their obedience to God in very difficult and very trying times. And now our text is the practical application, the practical admonition. and the practical encouragement of what has already been said and how these children of God, men and women, served God faithfully, and they did so by faith. And the subject here in Hebrews, beginning with Hebrews 10:38, really throughout the book, is for the child of God not to lose heart, but to continue on, to just continue on. And that is our subject this morning. Don't lose heart. You know, it doesn't take much for most to profess to be saved to lose heart. And all it takes is for somebody to give them what they consider a dirty look. That's enough. For somebody to say something or not say something, that's enough. And they lose heart. But throughout Hebrews, we are encouraged, and specifically here in these verses, we are encouraged not to lose heart. We can't afford to lose heart. You cannot live the Christian life if your heart is not in it. The first thing we notice here is we have a description of the Christian life. The life that God has called us to live, first of all, is likened to a race. It says the race that is, that speaks of the present, the race that is, and we read that this race is set before us. That is, it is placed before us, it is assigned to us. And this, of course, is not the first time that the Christian life is likened to a race. We see it is likened to a race in 1 Corinthians 9, and again in Galatians chapter 5, and again in Philippians chapter 3. There are allusions to a race in all of those scriptures. The implication of a race is descriptive of the character and manner of the life of a child of God. That the life of a life that the child of God is to live. A race implies many things. A race implies preparation, which teaches us that you just cannot stumble out of bed and live the Christian life. The Christian life requires preparation. We are to be continually running this race. That is, every single day. Every single day we must prepare as we run this race. A race implies exertion. A race implies that which is strenuous. It implies a determined effort, which teaches us that the life of a child of God is not a life of ease. It is not a life of relaxation. It is going to require some exertion. It is going to require that which is strenuous. It is going to require a determined effort. A race also implies progression. A race implies advancement, which teaches us that spirituality is not to be stationary. Spirituality is not to go backwards. It is to always be in an advancement. It is to always be a progression. A race implies a goal, a finish line, which teaches us that the life of a child of God is a pursuit. It is something that we are constantly pursuing. A race also implies a specified course. A running in a certain direction. When you think of a race, you do not think of 20 people running in different directions, running wherever they please. There is a specified course. And this teaches us that the life of a child of God is not random. A race also implies rules. It implies rules. It implies limitations. It implies that there are bounds that have been set. This teaches us, of course, that the life of a child of God is not haphazard. There are rules. There are limitations. There are boundaries that are set. A race is particular. A race is specific. And it is called here in our text, the race. A race implies concentration of purpose. A race implies a singleness of aim. A race implies perseverance. All of this teaches us that the life of a child of God is a very serious matter. This is not a game. This is a very serious matter. Notice again, it is the race that is set before us. It is set before us. Therefore, it is not a race of our own choosing. And again, the race that is set before us, it is set before us. You cannot ignore it. You have to do something with it. No matter what the circumstances, no matter what the situation, no matter what the conditions, the race is set before us. So the Christian life is compared to a race. We see also that the life of a child of God is a responsibility. It is a duty. There is the race set before us. That race being set before us, we have a responsibility. We have a duty. We are to run the race that is set before us. That means when you run, you extend yourself. We are to extend ourselves spiritually. When you run, you stretch yourself. We are to stretch ourselves spiritually. We are to reach forth toward the goal spiritually. It is not for us to merely sit back and observe the race. We're to run the race. It is not for you and I to sit back and comment on the race. It is for you and I to run the race. In other words, we are to be participants, and not merely at certain times, nor is our participation contingent upon who else is running the race. It really doesn't matter. We are to run the race, nor is it contingent upon our circumstances or our situation. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are. You're to run the race. It doesn't matter what your situation is. You're to run the race that is set before us. That's always so. There's never a time when that is not so. We also see from all of this that the life of a child of God has difficulties. It is said here in verse 1 that we are to run with patience the race that is set before us. The word patience conveys the idea of endurance. And again, when you think of endurance, you don't think of something that's a pleasure. You don't think of something that's easy. The word endurance implies difficulties. And the very word simply means the ability to bear pains. The ability to bear trials. And to do so calmly. Run the race with patience. That is, there's going to be some pains. There's going to be some trials. But you bear those pains and you bear those trials calmly as you run the race. Run the race with patience means the ability to manifest forbearance under provocation and under strain. The ability to be steadfast in the face of opposition. The ability to be steadfast in the face of difficulty and adversity. Run with patience the race that is set before us. In other words, this race involves some pains. This race involves some trials. This race involves some difficulties. This race involves some obstacles. This race involves some opposition. This race, you are going to experience some adversity. But it is our responsibility to run the race. And we're to do so enduring these things. This race is run in a world that is actively opposed to God. But you and I are to keep running the race anyway. The race is run in a world that has a very powerful draining effect upon that which is spiritual. But you keep running the race anyway. That race is run in bodies that are filled with infirmities. But you keep running the race anyway. You're to endure. And as you're running this race along the way, you're going to find some people who have sat down, who have laid down. And really, these people are in the way. They are in the way of you running the race, but you run the race anyway. As you run the race, you're going to encounter some people running in the opposite direction. The goal is conformity to Christ. But as we run, we see some running the opposite direction. But you keep running anyway. You keep pursuing. Along the way, there will be stumbling blocks. Along the way, there will be obstacles. Along the way, as you're running this race, there are going to be people pulling at you, pulling from all directions, and people trying to pull you down. You endure, and you keep running the race anyway. No matter what is going on, you run the race. And at times, you will feel like you're running blindfolded, uphill, against the gale, and through a minefield. But keep on running the race anyway. Endure. There will be times when you don't feel like running the race. Run the race anyway. Just keep on running. Run with patience the race that is set before us. So we have a description of the Christian life. Now notice there are some dangers associated with the race. And we see this in verse 3. And these dangers are introduced by the phrase, lest ye. Lest ye. That is a conjunction conveying the idea of preventing something, of avoiding something. The phrase, lest ye, is followed by two specific dangers. And you will notice that these two dangers are something that can happen to the participants, to the runners in the race. There are dangers in this race. Notice these two dangers. Lest ye be wearied. Lest ye be wearied. That speaks of an exhaustion. It speaks of a depletion and a danger. As we run this race, there is the danger that we become spiritually exhausted. That we become spiritually depleted. That we become spiritually drained. Lest ye be wearied. This speaks of a spiritual condition. But it goes on in verse 3. And faint in your minds. This is the second danger, and I believe it is the result of the first. You first become weary. You first become spiritually depleted. And the next result is you faint. You faint spiritually. To faint is to pass out. It is to lose consciousness. Spiritual fainting is a loss of spiritual consciousness. And we live in a day when many of God's people have fainted spiritually. There is a loss of spiritual consciousness. This faintness of mind is the reverse of vigor that it takes to run the race. It is the reverse of cheerfulness. It is a losing heart. And it is this spiritual exhaustion, this depletion, this draining that results in a breaking of spiritual resolve and a breaking of and causing a sinking spirit. Two dangers. That we become so spiritually depleted that we pass out. That we lose spiritual consciousness. Now he then goes on, and we want to finish the message with this. Not that we're almost done. But there are safeguards against these dangers. Safeguards against these dangers. The phrase, lest ye, tells us that what went before those two words are the instructions on how to avoid and escape whatever it is that follows. Lest ye. So what went before lest ye in verse 3 is how we escape that weariness, spiritual depletion, and a loss of spiritual consciousness. So how do we escape? How do we escape this spiritual depletion? We no doubt live in the last days. We're all aware of that. And we're all aware of the fact that it's not getting any easier. But you know what? I believe that we as God's people have used that excuse long enough. And that's what it's become. It's become an excuse. It's become an excuse for everything. Well, you know, we live in the last days. That doesn't change our responsibility. That doesn't change the fact that we are to run the race. People say, well, the reason people are spiritually depleted today, we live in the last days. That's not the reason. The reason is because they did not follow the directions that are given before we read those two words in verse 3, lest ye. That's the reason. That's the reason we become spiritually depleted. That's the reason we become spiritually drained. That's the reason we faint. That's the reason we stop running the race. Because we did not follow the directions. So we have these safeguards against spiritual weariness, against spiritual faintness. The first one that we see here in verse 1, let us lay aside every weight. You don't want to be drained spiritually? You don't want to be spiritually depleted? Run free of weights. Run free of weights. Now, a weight is an encumbrance. It can be different for all of us. But a weight is an encumbrance. It is anything that hinders us. It is anything that prevents us from running the race. And I believe it's important to realize that almost anything, if not everything,
can become a weight in our lives. The word weight here, you'll notice in verse 1, is distinguished from sin. Let us lay aside the weight and the sin. And the sin. So, there's a distinction made between the weight and sin. Now, a weight can be something that is legitimate. It can be something that is lawful. It can be something that is absolutely necessary. In other words, we can allow that which is legitimate. We can allow that which is lawful. We can allow that which is absolutely necessary to become a weight. That is, these things begin to hinder our running. They begin to hinder our progress in the race. And many of God's people today are trying to run the race. And I'm telling you, they have heavy weights tied around their necks. They have heavy weights upon their ankles. They have heavy weights upon their backs. And they have cement in their shoes. And they're trying to run the race. And they're wondering, I don't know why I'm so spiritually depleted. Well, you try tying a weight around your neck. You try tying weights around your ankles. And you try putting weight on your back and run a while. And see if you don't get exhausted. And you know what else we do? Not only do we run with all these weights upon us, as we're running, we pick up another weight. And then another. And we just run along picking up one weight after another. People today, I'm tired of hearing it. Oh, I'm so busy. I don't have time for anything. Whose fault is that? Be honest. As you were running the race, you picked up this weight, this weight, this weight, this weight. And now you want to blame it on everything else. Quit picking up the weights. Quit picking up all of those things that take away your time from serving the Lord. If we're not going to be spiritually depleted, we have to run free of weights. This spiritual depletion, this state of spiritual unconsciousness is avoided by running free of weights. Secondly, we have to run untangled. It says in verse 1 again, let us run the race. Let us lay aside. In addition to putting off the weights, let us lay aside the sin which does so easily beset us. We are surrounded by sin. So much so that it hems us in. So much so that it entangles us. And many are trying to run the race, and their feet and their hands are tied by sin. And their minds are bound by sin. And their eyes are blindfolded by sin. And this depletes them spiritually. We have to run untangled. We must not be entangled. So these two safeguards, run free of weights, run untangled. These things speak of commitment and dedication. We're to be so committed to the race that we're to strip down. We are to free ourselves of weights. So committed and so dedicated to the race that we're not going to allow anything to entangle us. We're not going to allow anything to get in the way. You know what they said to Nehemiah is true today. There is much rubbish so that we are not able to build. And that's oh how true. There is much rubbish. We need to run free of weights. We need to run free of entanglements. We must be committed. We must be dedicated. We must be resolved to be free of weights, to be free of entanglements. Somewhere along the line, God's people, when friends come and say, hey, we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and why don't you join this club, and this activity, and this activity. Somewhere along the line, God's people have to say, I don't have time. That's taken away from my service to the Lord. But instead, what do? Can you do such and such in church? Well, Brother Dan, I really don't have time. I've got this. Why don't you just come out and say, I don't have time because I've been picking up these weights along the way and I'm going to just keep on picking them up. So stop asking. Just stop asking. My life's too weighted down. Take responsibility. Take responsibility for the weights in your life. Take responsibility for the entanglements in your life. We're to run focus. That's the third thing. Verse 2, looking unto Jesus. That's a very simple expression. It contains no hard words to be understood. Looking unto Jesus. It's not doctrine that we're to look at. I'm not saying doctrine's not important. I'm not saying doctrine's not to be looked at. But we're to look unto Jesus, a person, a living person. How are we to do that? We do that by faith. That's what went on before Hebrews chapter 12. Jesus Christ is the object of faith. Salvation begins by looking unto Jesus. And the race is run by continuing to look unto Jesus. At salvation, we look to Jesus Christ alone. And running this race, we must look to Christ alone. We must look off of other things, look away from other things, and turn our eyes to one object, Jesus Christ. Looking away from ourselves unto Jesus. Looking away from all the other runners unto Jesus. Looking away from all the difficulties and all the oppositions and all the obstacles. And looking unto Jesus. Looking away from all the threats of the world. And all the promises of the world. Looking unto Jesus. Looking away from the past. Looking unto Jesus. This is not just merely a casual glance. It's a continual looking unto Jesus. With a steady, fixed, and intent eye, we are to look unto Jesus. Just as the runners in a race have their eyes upon the goal, we're to have our eyes upon our goal. And that goal should be Jesus Christ. And if that goal isn't Jesus Christ, you've got the wrong goal. If a goal is not conformity to Christ, you've got the wrong goal. You're running the wrong race. We must not allow our attention to be diverted. Let's look to Him. And as we look to Him, we see what He is. We look to Him to hear what He speaks. We look to Him to do what He says. We look to Him to follow where He leads. Again, this is not just a careless glance, but is a submissive looking unto Jesus. An affectionate looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus is to have our hearts occupied with Jesus Christ. It is to have our hearts captivated and mesmerized with Jesus Christ. If you want to avoid spiritual depletion, if you want to be able to run this race, you need to have your heart occupied and captivated and mesmerized with Jesus Christ. Looking unto Jesus. That's how you avoid the dangers of verse 3. And looking unto Jesus, what do we see? We see who He is. We find great encouragement looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, we see the great love of God. Looking unto Jesus, we receive the strength we need to continue on. Looking unto Jesus, we're able to overcome. Looking unto Jesus, we have encouragement. And we look unto Jesus because He is our example. And this is brought out in verse 2. Notice, we have His motive, who for the joy that was set before Him. He's our example in motive. He endured the cross. He is our example in steadfastness. Keep on looking to Jesus. Don't look to other runners as an example in steadfastness. You look unto them and you say, oh, they encourage me because they're running so strong. Well, what happens tomorrow when you see them falling down? You get discouraged. Just keep looking to Jesus. As our example in steadfastness. Look unto Jesus as our example of thinking. Notice He despised the shame. That is, simply means He thought lightly of the shame of the cross. Didn't mean that much to Him. What people think is going to happen means far too much to most people today. Despising the shame. And then we see He is an example in victory. He is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. The way to avoid spiritual depletion, the way to avoid a state of spiritual unconsciousness, is to run free of entanglements, free of weights. It is to run looking unto Jesus. And then lastly, we see in verse 3, for consider Him. Consider Him. That is, as you run this race, ponder. Think carefully upon Jesus Christ. Give attention to Jesus Christ. Take into account Jesus Christ. As you run the race, meditate upon Him. As you run the race, think upon Him. Weigh well who He is. Think upon the place that He took. Think upon the infinite perfection of His character and deeds. In everything you do, in every place you go, in everything you experience, consider Him. Consider Him. And again, we consider Him as an example. He endured such contradiction of sinners. Consider Him who endured that which was bitter. Consider Him that endured that which was so severe. Consider Him that endured that which was malicious. He endured everything which the evil wits of men could come up with. He endured everything that Satan could come up with. He endured the betrayal of His followers. He endured mockery. He endured slander. He endured it all. He never, ever, ever turned aside. Consider Him. He never abandoned His mission. Never. Never once did He even consider abandoning the mission. And that must not be an option. Quitting must not be an option in the life of a child of God. Endure. And you do this by considering. He never fainted. He remained steadfast and finished the work which had been given Him to do. Consider Him. Consider His love for your soul. Consider the place that He stood. Consider the place that he took for you. Consider the price he paid for your soul. Consider him. So there is this race that is set before us. It is a race that requires endurance. It is a race in which there is some danger. There is a risk. There is the danger and there is the risk that you and I become spiritually exhausted. That you and I become spiritually depleted. That we become spiritually drained. That we become so spiritually exhausted. That we become so spiritually depleted and drained that we faint. That we lose heart to run the race. But it doesn't have to be that way. We can avoid these dangers. We do that by laying aside all weights. We lay them aside. We get rid of them. Get rid of them. We run free of that which entangles us. We've gotten rid of the weights. We've gotten rid of the entanglements. And we begin to run. And as we're running, we're to just keep on looking at Jesus Christ. No matter what happens, don't take your eyes off Jesus Christ. Don't do it, because it'll drain you spiritually. There are people that will drain every drop of spirituality out of you if you let them. They'll drain it all. They're bloodsuckers. They'll drain it all. Their life is already depleted. And they'll do everything in their power to bring you down with them. You just keep looking unto Jesus. Don't take your eyes off of Jesus. And as you're looking upon him, you're thinking upon Jesus. It's pretty hard to look at somebody and not think about them. But also, out of sight, out of mind. You get your eyes off of Jesus, you'll stop thinking about them too. And you know what'll happen? You'll become spiritually depleted. You'll become spiritually exhausted. And you will lose your heart to run the race. You will faint. So yes, we do have a race to run. Sometimes that race is uphill. Sometimes it's against a strong gate. At other times, it's just perfect. You're running on level ground. There's no obstacles in the way. There's no hindrances in the way. You just keep looking unto Jesus. Even in those times, you just keep your eyes on Christ. Just keep on thinking about Christ. Get rid of all the weights. Get rid of all the entanglements. There are other times it's running uphill all the way. And as you're running, there's obstacles. There may be trees down in the on the course. Maybe all kinds of things, all kinds of dangers. You just keep casting off the weights. You just keep casting off the entanglements. You just keep your eyes on Jesus and you just keep thinking about him. You know what? Before long, you've run the race. You finished your course. You finished the course. Never thought you could do it. But you did these things. Before long, the race is over. The race is won. We have a race to run. And we live in a world that is full of weights. I mean, it's just like when you see runners run a race and there's the water stands and they grab a bottle of water. That's what we do, except it's not water, it's weights. We just grab one weight after another and just keep on. And then we say, I just don't know what's happened to me. I just can't imagine why I'm so spiritually exhausted. I just have no spiritual energy whatsoever. I just can't imagine what's happened. Get rid of the weights. Quit picking up more. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Think upon Him. And that's the way to live this life that we're called to live. Brother Larry, if you'd